Season's greetings, dear listeners, to another week of Christmas cheer. We are your hillbilly holiday hosts. I am Jesco.
And I am Chauncey. For those of you who just joining us, or if and you needing a reminder, Jesco and I are working through the book Sleeping in Your Debunk Bed by Herman Perfunctorious. Quite right, Chauncey. And December's objective has been to either prove or disprove the existence of one Santa Claus. We've been speaking with some of the folks in our community who have claimed to have seen Kris Kringle. Week one, we spoke to a Kremlin gentleman who believed he accidentally pantsed a St. Nicholas caught in a tree. And last week, we spoke to a limo driver who allegedly drove around a philandering Father Christmas. Although we partially believe both of their accounts, we must continue on until we have something more substantial. And we feel like we may have just the guest who's going to help us break the case wide open. He's a man that can be seen around our trailer park with any manner of varmint trap, net, or wrench. And he claims to have actually worked on a maintenance project at the North Pole. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Wild Man Willie. What you talking about, Willie?
Hey, Chauncey, how you doing, dude? Hey, Jess Cal, how you doing, dude?
Willie, it is a pleasure to have you here.
It's my pleasure, too. I got locked out of my trailer, and I saw you had your lights on. So I decided to knock on the door and see if you was home.
Willie, we invited you here, remember?
Oh, yeah. You right. Maybe I'm thinking of last week when I locked myself out and saw your lights on and we played Nintendo after I knocked on your door and you let me in.
Yeah, let's go with that. Anyway, we called upon you this week, Wild Man, because you've told us before in the past about a time you got called to do a maintenance job in an unlikely place.
Oh, yeah. I got the call to pull an unhappy raccoon out the ball pit of the Chuck E. Cheese.
Huh?
They told me the little fella was the birthday boy, and he ain't getting some of the toys he wanted. He looked right at me and said, "It's my party, and I can cry if I want to, dude."
The raccoon said that?
Yeah.
No, Willie. We're referencing the time you told us you were called to a special place up north to do maintenance. Someplace with a pole, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, dude. I did some plumbing work at the North Pole.
That's right. You've been telling us about it for years, and we asked you to come by and regale the listeners.
We see it as the smoking gun to proving the existence of Santa.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot to say about that job. So about 15 years ago, I was fumigating the motel when I received a message on my pager. It was telling me to call a number about another job that needed to be done. So I entered the motel to use their phone. I picked up the receiver, dialed the number, and all of a sudden I was hit with a flash of light. I was out for a few seconds, then when I came to, I was in a massive workshop.
Oh, wait! I love the part where you described the workshop.
There were workbenches all over the place. Toys, game systems, kitchen appliances, all manner of gifts were stacked from floor to the ceiling. The place was decked out in large twinkling lights, and snowflakes gently fell onto the sunroof. It was the warmest I'd ever felt in my life. It must have been what it feels like to be inside a fancy diamond, like a cubic zirconia.
That sounds magical. Then what happened?
While I was gazing up at what was before me and gawking at all the little dudes walking around underfoot, I heard a voice from behind me say my name. I turned on my heel, and there, mounted atop a white horse, with a long white beard and shoulder-length white hair, was the man himself. As he floated off of his steed, his long robes flowed behind him, and he landed with a feather touch just feet in front of me. I was standing face to face with the man himself, Santa H. Claus.
Oh, he sounds like he had all the grace of a holy deity, just like I hoped.
He put his warm hand on my shoulder, and a tingle went down my back and through my crack. It was the butthole pucker of assurance you get when you know you're standing in the presence of greatness.
Like when I saw Reba McEntire at Piggly Wiggly.
Oh, dang, dude. I didn't know that. Was she performing? Did she sing one of her songs?
Nah, she was just buying some TV dinners. But please continue with your story, wild man.
Oh, right. So there I was, about to talk to Santa. Like in a song by the Black Crowes, she says she talks to Santa. He says to me,
I need your help, wild man Willie. I'm having major plumbing backups in all the bathrooms. I need you to check all the issue because Miss Claus can't stand a stench when she's making my Christmas cookies. She refuses to bake them when the kitchen toilet is having issues. And if she don't make my cookies, I don't get cookies, so I get cranky. The world don't need a cranky Santa delivering day presents. Cranky Santa makes mistakes, and he just don't care to do a good job. So I need you to fix the problem, or else I'll become negligent on account of not having my cookies. Rat Boy Ronnie was up here earlier this week, and he only made it worse. I need your help, wild man.
Oh, I can't stand Rat Boy Ronnie. Yeah, he's the king of false advertising. He claims Rat Boy Ronnie will do a real good job, but that ain't true.
Needless to say, my work was cut out for me. So I gained access to the plumbing system, and I pulled out my spyglass telescope. I was looking up and down and couldn't see hardly nothing through the pipes. It was so dark. It certainly was pungent, though. Like nothing I ain't never smelt before. Only thing I could make out was maybe flecks of white and orange. Kind of smelled like carrots and maybe oats. Smelled like some spoiled milk and ham was mixed in the brew. So I went to Santa's office and I asked, "Hey Santa, you, Mrs. C, and the elves the only ones who use them toilets?" He looked up at me from his atlas, glasses on the bridge of his nose, and he replied,
"For the most part. However, it's been unusually cold in these parts the last few weeks, so I let some of the reindeer come inside and use the bathroom."
Just then a light bulb went off in my head. The carrots, oats, and ham? I knew exactly what the problem was.
So I look Santa in his beady eyes and tell him the conclusion I just come to.
"Santa," I started, "there's your problem. Statistically speaking, larger animals' feces hardens like concrete. And with all those animals coming in and using the facilities, you've dammed up your pipes. The water won't flow because of all the caked on reindeer dookie."
He looked at me for a moment. He leaned back in his chair and rubbed his chin. He sat there for a minute, then stood up, came around in front of his desk, spun around twice, and then pretended to hula hoop. Then he extended his hand for me to shake. When I came to, there were police officers in gas masks shining their flashlights in my face. Apparently, I passed out in the motel while I was fumigating, and nobody had heard from me for about 48 hours. So they held me out the motel and told me to get some rest.
I still can't believe you walked out of that building on your own. After all that chemical exposure, have you had any adverse side effects over the years?
Sometimes my farts come out of my mouth, but that's about it.
I'd say that's a fair trade. In all those years, though, you ever think the gas had something to do with your experience?
I don't think so.
Well, Willie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I hope you find out if Frankenstein is real or not.
Oh, no, we... Never mind. Although we do enjoy that story, hearing it just now leaves me feeling unconvinced for the first time. Looks like we're still in quite the predicament, Jesco. Speaking of, this week, the guys talk about a predicament Bart Simpson gets himself into when he tries to obtain the video game he most desires. It's the Season 7 Christmas episode of The Simpsons, Marge Be Not Proud. Stay tuned. The Radcast will be right back.
Spidey, Bone Stormer, go to hell!
We now return.
Bart?
To the Radcast.
Young man, in this house we use a little word called please.
Man, I will say, we're recording this. The Sunday we're recording this, and then the Friday it's being released. We are in the midst of Hanukkah.
Yes.
So to all who observe, to all who celebrate, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah
from the Radcast.
To our Jewish listeners.
Yes.
Hope you are having a good Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. I hope it is a wonderful and a warm and sincere,
meaningful
8 days, and you can celebrate it with your family.
Yeah.
And have a good old time. So happy Hanukkah for those of you that are Jewish and you listen. Thank you for listening, and I hope it's a good one. And for everybody else. But for everybody listening, welcome back into the Radcast. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
Thank you all for listening last week when we talked about one Ernest P. Worrell saving the holiday of Xmas.
Of Christmas.
Yes.
Of Xmas.
Yes. Xmas.
Chex-mix.
He definitely saved the hell out of Christmas.
Boy, did he. He had some help with his friends.
Yes.
Including one Santa Claus.
And including one also Principal Robillard from Full House.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Joe
including
Carruthers.
Including one teenage runaway.
Yes, exactly. And older frozen teddy bears.
Yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
But thank you all for coming back in this week, that you weren't put off by any of our silliness, and hopefully you aren't put off by any of our silliness this week.
Or your hate listening.
Yeah.
Even if that's the case.
Thank you.
Haters make me famous.
Haters make me famous, as a shirt from 2008 would say.
Yes, exactly. But continuing on with our Christmas-themed episodes, it's a little different, taking a little different of an approach, as you heard Chauncey say at the end of the little skit there, that we're talking about the Simpsons episode Marge Be Not Proud, which was just the second Christmas-themed episode in the Simpsons history, next to the series premiere.
Yeah.
Of Simpsons roasting over an open fire.
So it took them seven seasons.
Yeah, because this was season seven, which
took them a while to get back around to a Christmas themed episode.
Oh yeah, which to many people, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on our history with the Simpsons.
We'll do that next summer.
Yeah, we will. We're hoping to still tentatively, hopefully do a retrospective on the first 10 seasons next summer or summer 2024. We also ranked in the first 5 weeks of Fright. We ranked the first 10 seasons worth of
Treehouse Horrors,
which we gave a little bit of our history of The Simpsons. But we're going to just talk straight about this particular episode, which is not just my favorite Christmas episode of The Simpsons, but one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, easily. Yeah. The amount of bits in this episode that I've either quoted all year round to myself throughout the year, or that like every time I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, this bit that always pops in my head, it's from this episode. Mm-hmm. This quote is from this episode.
Yeah.
It's just, it really does a good job of encapsulating what you get when you watch The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. It's not just like Bart being a little scamp and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and Homer being stupid. Like, there's a lot of heart mm-hmm. in this show.
Oh yeah, this one especially. Yeah. But just kind of touching a little bit on last week's episode with Ernest Saves Christmas. A part of that was I gave you, the listener, a little history
yeah.
on how Matt and I, and then a little bit from Jeremy Weed about 10 years ago, came up with a bunch of fake Ernest movie
yep.
titles.
Yep.
And I named a few of them that I had long since deleted the yeah. list, but I came up with a few of them and I named them on the air, which we got a huge kick out of. And then we heard back from our sister Samantha. Her Ernest vs. Al-Qaeda was her favorite. But then we heard back from Jake Vilewald, who we just had on. A great six mix with him.
Yeah.
And his favorite was Ernest Eats Shit. It's yeah. short
Ernest
and
Eats Dog Shit.
Ernest Eats Dog yeah. Shit. And from there, through the entirety of pretty much the rest of the day, Matt, and Jake were texting back and forth Ernest movie titles,
yeah.
and I grabbed
no exaggeration all day,
yeah, all throughout yeah. the course of the day till maybe about 3-4 o'clock yeah. in the afternoon.
Which, if you left your phone unattended for like 10 minutes, you'd probably yeah. come back to like 20 unread messages.
And I did,
yeah,
I did.
And you did.
I was at the gym, like yeah. I walked in, like when I was walking in the gym, I was kind of like, oh, haha, that's when Jake texted
yeah, yeah.
Ernest Eats Dog Shit, haha, and we yeah. started texting back and forth.
Yeah.
When I was done at the gym, I had like 30 text messages that yeah. I missed.
I imagine at work, you probably had a lot of ones you missed too.
Well, it
probably not so much.
No, because my shift starts at 2:30, so yeah. we pretty much were all done
that's true.
By
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
But I did pull a few of them.
Oh,
some
nice.
Of them were inside
yes.
jokes between Matt, Jake, and I.
Yeah.
These were some of the highlights that, you know, I don't want to say some of them were offensive because, like, we're not those type of guys to just
yeah.
be offensive to be funny. So they weren't offensive, but they just were like, they're like, ah.
Just
like
kind
that.
Of shock value to pop, like, me or Jake.
Yeah,
or
it's
yeah.
it just to be stupid.
Just between the three of
yeah,
us.
Yeah, exactly. So here are some of them. Ernest kills the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest gets carjacked.
yeah.
This one is crass, but Ernest beats his meat.
yeah.
Ernest robs the food bank. So this was an effort between myself, Matt, Jake, and then there's one in here from our buddy Derek Gove. So Ernest gets carjacked. Ernest beats his meat. Ernest robs the food bank. Ernest bets on baseball. Shark attack Ernest. Ernest becomes Batman and Dark Knight Ernest. And Jake was like, I'm vengeance. Know what I mean? Ernest did 9/11. Ernest curses God. Ernest becomes God. Assassination Ernest. Ernest huffs Duster. Ernest versus Predator. Ernest takes arsenic. Jake did if Ernest were cast, not Jim Varney, but if Ernest were cast as Franklin Delano Roosevelt in a biopic, F.D. Ernest.
F.D. Ernest, yeah.
Ernest gets crucified. Ernest shits himself. Ernest questions his existence. And the final Ernest entry, Ernest explodes.
That's a very short
so,
movie.
It's a very short movie. There were more over yeah. the course of the day, but it was... We had a great time
yeah.
doing that. That was fun. But back to this week, Marge Be Not Proud, season 7, episode 11 of The Simpsons. Seasons 4, 5, 6, and 7 are prime
yeah.
Simpsons.
Not a bad episode.
Yeah.
Like if you were tuning mm-hmm. in at that time, every week mm-hmm. you got a
yeah.
classic
yeah.
that you were quoting with your friends
yeah.
the next day.
Seasons 1 and 2 were so controversial because nobody had seen you know anything
yeah.
like that before from like a TV show on primetime
yeah.
with just how kind of vulgar in comparison
yeah.
to something like the Flintstones was.
A lot of classics, but I still feel as though they were still developing their identity.
Yeah. And
classic hit their stride yeah. like mid-season, about season 3.
Yeah, classic as far as like when they came into
yeah.
the zeitgeist, when all the marketing and the merch
oh, yeah.
and video games and you know Bart Simpson on t-shirts saying don't have a cow
oh,
man.
Oh yeah, because from the jump, pretty much, they've been a cultural,
mm-hmm.
like, it's been a cultural, like...
Phenomenon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so even though, in my opinion, for my comedic sensibilities, they didn't hit their stride fully until, like, season 3.
Yeah.
Even though the first two seasons had classic episodes,
mm-hmm.
They've always been a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But for my money, and even, you know... half of season 3 to me
yeah.
is like has great episodes, but 4, 5, 6, and 7
oh,
are
yeah.
prime
yeah.
Simpsons.
Yeah.
And of course, 8, 9, 10 had good stuff.
Yeah, 11 had good episodes.
I think we went with Joe Gilbert. We had mentioned, to give it credit, it still had good stuff up until about 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I don't want to say, oh, all of it was terrible just because I stopped watching.
Yeah.
So I don't want to judge it based off of that. Yeah. But it aired December 17th, 1995. I think 6 years to the day since the very first episode aired for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Starring Dan Castellaneta as Homer and other various characters. Yeah. Julie Kavner as Marge, Nancy Cartwright as Bart, and other characters. Yardley Smith as Lisa. Hank Azaria as various characters in the episode.
Someone does not understand the concept of sarcasm.
Oh, please take my $59. I don't want it.
Yeah. 99 cents is the rental fee.
Yeah. I am all out, but I have plenty of Lee Carvalho's putting challenge. Now with scoring pencil.
That's such a great bit. So many good bits in this episode.
Yeah. Harry Shearer as various voices. Phil Hartman as Troy McClure. Pamela Hayden as Milhouse. Yeah. Tress McNeil, various voices. With guest star Lawrence Tierney as
Don Brodka.
Yeah.
That's right, Don Brodka.
That's right, Don Brodka. This is an episode that I think touches on so much of what made The Simpsons great.
Yeah.
Great, I think, is an understatement, especially with the influence it's had in our lives, with our, you had mentioned comedic sensibilities, with how we write and structure, our understanding of how to structure like a written joke.
Smart but stupid.
Yeah.
It's brilliant in its stupidity and its execution.
Yeah. Plus, it's sentimental.
Yes.
And it has these, there's not a whole lot of continuing storylines for the most part. So in these one-off episodes, you have to do kind of a truncated version of like a three-act structure to where there's a short redemption arc, but it's impactful because of how you wrote the characters.
Mm.
And Mike Scully, who wrote this episode and wrote like... throughout every season, his name through the credits,
when I see that name, I think, oh, Simpsons credits just throughout the
year. He wrote it based upon when he was a kid, he shoplifted. And the episode is pretty much Bart wants this video game, which is a mix of like Mortal Kombat and a lot of like violent fighters of that time. This is 1995. Yeah. So like, we're still, if you listen to our Console Wars episode, we're still in the heat of Sega and Nintendo.
Yeah, he wants Bone Storm.
Buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. Son, in this house, we use a little word called please.
Yeah, because in the commercial, it's like, you want, or he says, stop this in your stocking. And it's this giant hulking like Santa Claus. Mm-hmm.
Who's just like scaring kids.
Yeah.
It's like, tell your parents, buy me Bone Storm or go to hell.
And then he walks in the kitchen, buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. Bart, young man, in this house, we use a little word called please.
There's some great Homer like moronic.
Why do you think I took you to all those police academy movies? For fun? Well, I didn't hear anybody laughing.
And then he'd say, except to the guy who made all those noises. But essentially, Bart steals the game, gets caught by the security officer, and he tells him, don't come back. And then the next day, like Marge is like, we're going to go get family photos taken.
Yeah.
And it's at the try and save that he just stole Bone Storm from and got told to never come back. And then in the middle of the picture being taken, Don Brodka, the security officer, pulls him at his collar, and he's like, looks like your son has broken the 11th commandment.
Thou shalt not steal.
And like Marge is in denial.
Yeah.
And then
she's convinced. She's like, no, you're, Bart would never do that.
Yeah. And then he puts in the video, the security footage, and it shows Bart's stealing.
Bart's like, wait, mom, I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the impactful thing is, because this whole, in The Simpsons, Marge is shown to be the more gentle of the two. She's
almost naive.
Yeah. Almost naive. In a funny way, in a lot of episodes.
Well, how the hell do you be cool?
But that's kind of showcased here. But Marge is seen
as cool, right, kids? Not caring if you're cool.
No.
How the hell do you be cool?
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
You just do it.
Which episode is that? That's Homerpalooza? Not Homerpalooza.
I think it is.
Okay.
But
not this episode.
No. But in this one, it just shows just how like loving Marge is. Yeah. And even though she's, you know, seemingly naive, you know, she's she's the more gentle of the two and loving of the two parents. So
this hurts her to her core.
Yeah. And the way that she's portrayed in this, it's a very real thing to how sometimes those most loving, like trusting parents, whenever their kids hurt them, like it, how they deeply internalize it and
they
how
don't
it
emote
affects them
at all.
Lisa, like Lisa gave the illustration, like, because Bart, after it's found out, Bart's like, he's like, after Homer. After Homer yells at him, like,
we're fun. Except that guy that's making sound effects.
Honk, honk. And then he's
anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, stay out of my booze.
And, like, because, like, Homer is trying to discipline him, but he's just an idiot. He's like,
stealing!
Haven't you learned anything from that guy who does the sermons at church? Captain, what's his name? and then, like, because Bart's come to expect Homer to fly off the handle. Yeah. He's the most belligerent of the two. He's, he's the one who, up to that point, always, why are you little? And, like,
choke
Bart.
Him,
But it's different when Marge is angry. Like, Bart's expecting a certain level of anger from his parent, because that's what he sees from Homer. So, like, he's like, Mom, are you okay?
I'm fine.
I'm fine. It's like, can I do anything to help? And she's like, I don't know.
Maybe you should go to
bed. Why don't you go to bed? And she's just really just,
cold
and quiet and distant.
Yeah.
And then he goes upstairs. He's brushing his teeth with Lisa. He's like, I don't get it. I thought Mom would scream me silly. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, Bart, I admit I haven't known Mom as long as you have, but she's just like, she's someone who has emotions that when she's angry and you break her trust, you can't just, you know, it doesn't wipe clean or easily like this sink.
Yeah.
It absorbs everything it takes.
Like this bathroom rug. Yeah. And Bart hops down. It's like, stepping on the rug.
Because also up to that point, like Marge is, she's being goofy.
Yeah.
She's like treating him like a baby.
Yeah. She's like, here comes
all aboard the sleepy train.
Yeah.
And
to rest his sweet caboose.
And like pass on. It's like, Mom, like essentially I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, it's lame. He's like, well, if loving my kids is lame, then I guess I'm just a big lame. He's like, Mom, it's lame to be proud to be lame. She's like, well, life is like a box of chocolates.
And Bart puts a bucket on his head and starts hitting himself in the head.
She's being embarrassing because Bart thinks he's like older.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to be more mature and older than he is. Then he does something that is, you know, kind of older beyond his years and being a thief.
Yeah.
And then he sees that, oh, okay, the part of that, like, getting my mom's trust back and knowing she still loves me is like that silly stuff she does. So when he's like, oh no, here comes the sleepy train, she just walks by and she's like, good night.
And she's sitting with Homer in bed, which is another bit real quick. But she's kind of blaming herself. She's like, maybe I've been babying him too much. It's like driven him to do this. And she's just like, she's questioning herself, even though she's not responsible for that at all. She's like, what have I done wrong that leads this sweet, my sweet baby boy to do something like this? But as she's getting ready for bed, Homer, again, Homer, this is such a good Homer episode.
This is a great Homer episode. We'll talk about just, we'll get away from the plot and just talk about just the quality of jokes in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Homer's like, I figured out the boy's punishment. First, he's grounded. No leaving the house, not even for school. Second, no eggnog. In fact, no nog, period. And third, absolutely no stealing for 3 months.
It's just so clueless.
It's so ridiculous. And then, like, Marge is having this crisis. She's like, what do I do? Or something. Homer's like, I don't know. And it looks to his pad of paper, and he's just been drawing a robot roasting a hot dog over a trash can fire.
But one of the things is that it's not lacking in the heart, because the ending is so great.
Yeah.
And for those of you that want to watch it, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, if you're a Simpsons fan and you have seen it, you know what it is.
Yeah. And in the ending, Bart doesn't get the game.
No, he gets
Marge gets him again. It's like, I asked the guy at the store. She said, this is the game all the little boys wanted, and it's Lee Carvalho's putting challenge.
And then we get the credit part, the part in the credits where it's like,
welcome to Lee Carvalho's putting challenge.
I am Carvalho. And it's see the point of view of the game.
Lee Carvalho,
you don't like see Bart playing it, but you just hear some of Bart's decisions based upon what Lee Carvalho says. It's like, choose your club. You have picked driver. May I suggest putter? driver. It is. It's like, now pick your strength of hit. I suggest feather touch. You have selected power drive. And then he like...
Lee Carvalho is not a real golfer, okay, by the way.
But it's funny because he sounds like he could be.
Power drive.
And then he's like, ball is in, parking lot. Would you like to play again?
Yeah.
You have selected no.
That's the end credits. And people have made custom Lee Carvalho's putting challenge, like games and stuff.
But from the start of the episode... where it's a very crusty Christmas.
Yeah.
And like it's just
respected private citizen Tom Landry,
former coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
But you have like a funny visual gag to where Krusty's walking around in an apron with like a turkey and he's like, welcome to my home. And he walks by an open window and you see like
the set
of the newsroom, like Kent Brockman. He's like, oh, hi. And he pulls down. And then we have a little, and now video Christmas message from Tupac Shakur.
Stay tuned for a video Christmas card from Tupac Shakur.
But it's just, they utilize all 23, 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And do what these seasons of The Simpsons did best, and that's
hilarious,
just
cold opening sort of that leads into the main conflict or the main premise of the episode
and stuff the episode with so many well-crafted verbal jokes but great visual gags, but it's not overwhelming to where it seems like they're trying too hard to get a laugh or trying to get the quickest or easiest laugh.
Like when Bart walks out of the try and save, it's something, it's real quick, but there's a sign over the entrance that says, in honor of the birth of our Savior, try and save is open all day Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like just, as if they're doing a service. Mm-hmm. They're keeping all their employees on Christmas.
Yeah. What I love and appreciate is this isn't, you know, a slight on anybody, but not everybody pays attention to every frame looking for visual things.
Background stuff.
Yeah. But it's so funny when the writers put that and nobody brings attention to it. Nobody's standing there reading it and just serving it to to the audience.
You are rewarded as an audience member for catching that visual gag.
Yeah.
And appreciative of a writer for putting a little detail like that in there.
Yeah. And it's funny because another example of Homer in this episode trying to help but being inept and and showing a lack of awareness is when Bart is bemoaning the fact that he wants Bone Storm, but Marge is like, you know, that's a violent video game and it costs anywhere up to, you know, $60. Yeah. Homer's like, when I was a kid, I wanted an electric football game for Christmas, and my parents got it for me, and it was the happiest day of my life. Well, good night.
Exactly. It doesn't help at all.
No. It's like it's supposed to be the moment to where you say you'll be happy with what you get, or you're not always going to get what you want. it turns it around. He's like, I got it.
And it was great.
Good night.
Good night.
Exactly.
He doesn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one of my favorite visual gags of any episode of The Simpsons is Bart's walking by
Milhouse's house.
And it's shown like there's all these lights in the sound.
Whoa,
he's like,
Milhouse got Bone Storm.
He's like, whoa. And all I did was put
this is great.
And all I did was
enter my name.
Thrill House.
Thrill Ho.
Cuts to the screen. It says, welcome, Thrill Ho.
it's still one of the best things as a graphic you can get on.
Oh yeah, things. And then when Bart steals it and he's in Don Brodka's office, and he makes him watch like the informational video, and of course it's Troy McClure. He's like, "Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such as," and he names like whatever informational video he's doing.
Yeah,
he names different like you may remember from other informational videos like da 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 and da, like in here it's like. You may remember me from other videos such as Designated Drivers, The Life-Saving Nerds, and Phony Tornado Alarms Reduce Readiness.
Anywhere they can, just they put in a joke.
The hilarious joke, just in the titles of those.
Even after Bart leaves Don Brodka's office, we don't follow Bart immediately. Don Brodka takes out one of those, cracker and cheese things where at the time you'd get like a little like tooled where you get
a little
like
stick
you'd spread the cheese, and the thing is he's trying to spread the cheese but it's a joke on how flimsy those things are, so he tries to spread it and the cracker breaks and he's like, oh, lousy piece of crap.
Well, and he's like, he's leaving a message, he's like, I'm gonna call your parents. He's like, this is Don Brodka. That's right, Don Brodka. And he leaves a message talking about how like Bart was shoplifting. He's like, they weren't home. And so Bart's gotta rush home. It's like,
God, I gotta get home. Gotta change the tape. Gotta get home and change the tape. And then it cuts to Homer. It's like, we gotta change Maggie. Dear God, we gotta get home and change Maggie.
Then it's one of the things that first really made me laugh the hardest when I watched this episode was Homer walks in. Like, we don't see Bart change the tape, but Homer walks in and he's like, funny, we didn't have a message before
we
left.
So you think it's the Don Brodka message.
Yeah, and then he clicks on it and it's, hello, Mutta. Hello, Fada. Here I am at Camp Granada. And it's Homer just standing there, and you see his eyes just moving. He's not making any faces, and he's like, Marge, is Lisa at Camp Granada? And just, I...
Every time.
It just shows just how... It shows how clueless he is, but then also it's how ridiculous.
A perfect joke that is brilliant and absurd and stupid, and it is a beautiful marriage of all three of those things.
And then Bart's like, now to hide this where no one's gonna go looking for it, and it's Camp Granada by Alan Sherman. Which is just funny to get inside the writers' brains to see like what they thought was funny. Oh, it's Alan Sherman made like silly songs in like the 60s.
Yeah.
So it's even in 1995, it's kind of a dated reference, but it's funny to see like where the writer's brain was. It's the same thing when Conan makes references.
Well, when growing up, where I got a lot of pop culture references and information from was The Simpsons, was Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
They make a riff, and I'm like, what is that? And you look it up, and you start cracking up, because it's like, I didn't even know who that was. Such a small reference.
Yeah, or like you see it somewhere else, and you're like, oh, that was in The Simpsons, or that's the person from The Simpsons. And then... another great one that just shows just how, like, stupid Homer is.
Yeah.
Is Bart? He realizes they're going to the try and save, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I got to get away with this without telling Mom and Dad that I stole and got in trouble for it." And he walks downstairs with chin putty and a fake nose, and Marge is like, please, Bart, I just want a regular Christmas photo. And it shows the last 3 years. And it's like Bart making a silly face, Bart having a comb as a mustache, and then Bart holding a voice bubble that says, I stink, up to Homer's mouth. And Homer's like, hey,
I don't remember saying that.
So ridiculous.
What a brilliant joke.
And then there's those things that are right there, but then there's small little things like when they show up at the... And they show up at the photographer, and it's a bunch of Flanders and Maud stuff, and then it's Flanders Person of the like it's photoshopped Flanders on a Person of the Year Time magazine or Person of the Century, Man of the Century. I don't know, one of those. And Homer's like, must have been a slow century.
Yeah.
Or the photographer who's like, don't worry, Mama, I'll make baby laugh. Yeah, here you go, Sugar Plum. And then he has a balloon, and he's gonna like suck in the helium. He's like, hello.
It's just air.
But it's all these little things, again, where they try and find spots to either put in a subtle joke, put in a visual joke, or put in one that is just so apparently riffing on the person who's telling the joke.
Oh, yeah. Or like when Bart is considering stealing it, and he gets all these, like the angel and devil on your shoulder, and it's different characters that are supposed to look like Mario and Luigi and Donkey Kong and Sonic, and it's like come on, the Bart, take the game, and
the store, she will not miss it.
Yeah,
the store, she is so rich,
you're not missing. Donkey Kong is like, well, it's the game's fault for making you want it so much.
And then Lee Carvalho's like, don't do it, son, how's that game gonna help your putts?
Exactly.
But I mean, there's not a whole lot more you can say. I mean, it again, if you're familiar with The Simpsons, the thing they did best for a long time was not only just pack the episodes with so many jokes and so many classic one-liners, so many classic moments, is it wasn't short on a sentimental message somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a bit, you mentioned how Homer was like, no eggnog. In fact, no nog, period. There's a small little bit where Homer is... He packs the fridge with eggnog, and like Marge is like, Homer, you didn't get any milk. It's all just eggnog. And he's like, oh, Marge is a sweet, or 31 sweet noggy days, and the government takes it away.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of Lisa, like funny Lisa parts. She's not in this a lot, but she's like, she's eating cereal with eggnog. And she's like, I think I'm having chest pains.
Yeah.
And then when they're spraying the Christmas tree with fake snow, she's like, Mom, this fake snow's making me dizzy. And she's like, oh, we're almost done, Lisa. And then
she just, you see,
like her eyes are going in different directions, and she just, it's just the sound of her dropping the can.
Yeah. Yeah. And, just a couple more like Marge things to where it's kind of giving Bart the cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. Like he's walking home from Milhouse's, and they're making snowmen, and you hear Marge laughing. He's like, Mom sounds happy. She's happy again.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you built snowmen without me. She's like, well, there's still some snow under the car, and it's like sludgy, dirty snow, and he makes like a makeshift Bart snowman.
And everyone's warming inside.
Yeah. And you know, she's making hot chocolate. He's like, Mom, you didn't wake me up. Where's my hot chocolate? He's like, here you go. It's like, you didn't put a marshmallow in there. He's like, oh. She's like, no, you're old enough. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Gives it to him, puts in the marshmallow, expands, and it just becomes like a hot chocolate marshmallow, and he pours it out, and he's like cutting it with a fork and knife, and Grandpa Simpson's like, hey, let me have a slice.
This is the only appearance of Grandpa, and Abe Simpson is one of top three favorite characters.
Hey, let me have a slice.
But it's just, it's interesting to just see. And it's kind of just peers into a lot of us. Like, when we really hurt people who seem like they will, and they most of the time, especially like parents and people who will love us unconditionally and have these telltale ways of showing you that you're so familiar with, then when you hurt them and they don't do those things, like, you're really trying to reach and grasp at anything to try and get that sense of, like, they still love me, they still trust me. But not everybody heals the same way, especially from being hurt that deeply.
It almost hurts worse. Not almost, it hurts worse when you're stoic and distant.
Because
at least when you're yelling, it's weird. Like, you're still in close.
You know where you stand.
You know where you stand. That's a more immediate way of showing that they care about what you did, good or bad, or care about you, whether good or bad.
Or they're just angry. They're angry, and in that moment, they're more focused on disciplining you than showing you, oh, I love you through this discipline.
Sometimes they're so hurt that they have no emotion.
They process it differently.
They don't know what to say. It's when Marge says, I don't know, maybe you should go to bed.
It's very real.
It hurts. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm.
That's why the ending, like,
especially since it's like the mid afternoon,
and like, that's why the ending, it's still kind of like, I don't get choked up, but you can definitely get some tears welling in your eyes because it's so sweet.
Yeah, because Bart goes to the try and save, and they're very coy about showing us what he's doing, and he's hiding something in his jacket, and he gets into the house, and Marge is like, where have you been? What are you hiding in your jacket?
Oh, Bart, not again.
Yeah, and he's trying to run through the house. She's like, you can't hide from me here. I spend 23 hours a day here. And Homer puts up a gate, and he's like, oh, get him, Ma.
And she pulls whatever it was from his jacket, and then she's like, oh, Bart. And you see,
I can't believe you did this.
He had a picture of himself taken. Yeah. He put the receipt on there that said paid in full.
Yeah.
And then she starts like, she starts getting emotional.
My little bitty Barty.
Yeah. And then that's when she's like, you can, because you did that, you can open one present early. And that's where he sees Lee Carvalho's putting challenge.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. But it's such a great episode. Yeah. I watch it every year.
Yeah. And just one more visual is when she puts up the picture that they got originally, when it's Bart being yanked out of the frame, and the picture sits crooked on the wall.
Yeah.
And then when Bart gets the framed picture of himself he got legally at the try and save, she puts it in the crooked picture and it straightens it out.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice heartfelt thing. Yeah.
Plus I like the Christmas visuals.
Yeah, it's very Christmassy episode.
Yeah. But Marge Be Not Proud is one of the top episodes, and we may exclude it next year from our rankings of season 7 episodes, just because we already talked about it.
Or we'll just upload this episode.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where, you know, same thing how I know for me personally, I'm not going to include the Treehouse of Horrors when I'm in those rankings.
Yeah, yeah.
I just realized the
format of those episodes, never mind. Yeah.
But we won't include it. I'll try and remember not to include
We'll reference this episode.
But it is one of those things where it is one of my favorite episodes of all time. It was one that I think even before we got the season 7 DVDs, Tyler had it on back in 1998. There was a compilation VHS release of Simpsons episodes where it was that Homer and the Mob. And a couple other episodes, all four great episodes. And then our younger brother, Tyler, got the DVD of it in 2005.
Yeah.
And we watched Marge Be Not Proud and just were cracking up.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that
for years we showed Friends and watched it sleepovers, and then over and over again, as you watch it more, you pick up more on things and just appreciate it more. Yeah. So Marge Be Not Proud, great Christmas episode of television, one of our favorite Simpsons episodes. I know this was a little different of an episode, but we wanted to do something a little different as far as holidays.
And speaking of holiday episodes, probably going to have another holiday episode.
Yes.
That we're talking about. A holiday episode of our holiday episodes, but a holiday episode of a specific TV show that we talked about earlier in the year, in May.
In May. So something that has to do with our subject of Mighty Morphin May. So we'll see. It's on YouTube. It'll be our last episode before Christmas.
Yep.
And I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Tentative. All I know is we just finished this one.
Mm-hmm.
And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.